It's NBA draft day, and the Golden State Warriors had the number 28 pick in the first round. I'm sorry, the defending world champion Golden State Warriors, I have to remember to address them properly, had the number 28 pick in the first round. And Kevin Dana, the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors, a man who's probably going to be very familiar with that first round pick, and whoever their second round picks end up being. We're recording this show live. It is June 23rd, Thursday at 8:19 p.m., and it's a live edition of Locked On Warriors. So join the party, and we're coming up next. Here we go.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors and sometimes the Golden State Warriors on Twitter at Kevo408. You can follow me, Cyrus Sotzes, on Twitter at DogSurfRocho. Well, the pick is in. You and I were just on another show, the Larry Kruger Show, where we had there were six panelists total, and six different names came up before the pick was made. None of us picked the eventual player, Patrick Baldwin Jr., who is now a Golden State Warrior. He's also the youngest player on the roster. Kevin, you've been doing extensive research on the draft this year. I would love your brilliance, your insights. Take it away, sir, your thoughts on Patrick Baldwin Jr. and the first round of the NBA draft.
Yeah, so he's kind of an intriguing prospect because he at one point was the number one recruit in his class and chose to play for his dad at Wisconsin-Milwaukee. You know, that's a Horizon League school, not Duke, which recruited him. You know, he was recruited by all the blue bloods, but chose to play for his dad. And, you know, if you look at the stats, you would say it didn't exactly go according to plan for him because he only played 11 games, didn't have the most efficient season, did put up 12 points and almost six rebounds, 27% from three. But if you look at this guy shoot, you would not think he's a 27% three-point shooter. Right. He is silky smooth. He's not the most athletic guy. He's not going to wow you with a big vert or anything. In fact, you know, he had 26-inch vert, which, you know, isn't a great number. But, you know, again, he's 6'9", 6'10", and so, you know, that maybe doesn't, you know, hinder him as much as it would someone who's like 6'1", right? Like, he's still able to get off tough shots against, you know, sizable defenders because he has that 6'9", 6'10" height, and he has a 7'1" wingspan as well. So it's like a +3, +4 wingspan for him, which is very solid. You know, take a look at this guy shoot. It's a very pure looking shot. He has a very solid feel for the game, as you would expect for being a coach's son. So he has a good solid feel for the game. He has like kind of stretch four potential is what they say, good shooting range. So he can shoot like the 25 footers. So he has NBA range already in addition to having that good looking shot. The needs improvement area that scouts are talking about right now outside of kind of the athleticism was he needs to get some work done on the defensive end. And so, you know, hey, if you're going to get drafted to a team that can help you improve your defense, Golden State would be a good place to do it. So that'd be one thing that he really needs to work on going forward. But certainly an intriguing pick, a pick that could certainly pay dividends. I mean, you know, Jordan Poole was a guy who didn't show up on a lot of draft boards on draft night. They took him 28th overall, and that turned out to be really good. I have to be honest, I did not watch a single Wisconsin-Milwaukee game. I've just seen kind of highlight tape and red scouting reports on him. But, you know, it is – he does – I can tell you that the jumper looks really clean, and that's about all I can tell you from what I've seen with my own two eyes.
I retweeted the Warriors Muse Twitter account. So if you follow me on Twitter at DogSurfRocho, they have this one three-pointer he put up where he pulled the Stephen Curry. He put it up and started running before the ball even went into the hoop.
I saw that.
Right. It definitely makes you happier with the pick when you see a play like that. Obviously, his height is important. He's 6'10". It's weird, by the way. You're right. He turned down Mike Krzyzewski. He turned down all these top tier schools to play at the University of Milwaukee with Wisconsin for his dad. But he only played 11 games. I think part of it was because of a lingering ankle injury that he originally suffered in high school. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of that. I just did a lot of research just on the fly.
No, I heard that about the ankle injury. Like, I haven't had the chance since we were on the Larry Kruger show and now we're doing this show. I haven't had a chance to like go do the extra research, which we'll be spent doing tonight. I just remembered one thing. I actually toured Wisconsin, Milwaukee. My dad and I do a baseball trip every summer. And one summer we went to Minneapolis and Milwaukee, and I went to Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I actually have a pair of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, like athletic shorts in my, I'll have to break them out. But yeah, I collect random college stuff, and that's one of the things I actually have. So, good timing on my part. This was 2016, you know, well before Patrick Baldwin was an NBA draft prospect.
Right. He's playing junior high.
Yeah.
Middle school. At that point, which is crazy. Yeah. Were you a total side note? While you were in Wisconsin, did you try cheese curds?
I did not try cheese curds. I definitely had some more custard, though. I love frozen custard. Found that out when I lived in the Chicago area for grad school. That became one of my things, and I gained like 20 pounds as a result. But that's another.
Yeah,
story.
I tried. Is it cheese curds or curdles? I think they're cheese curds.
Cheese curds. You're right.
Yeah, I was shocked. I don't know how they make those things. They're delicious. By the way, we're doing a live show right now. So if anyone has any comments they'd like to throw in, So Bays writes, interesting pick. He looks pretty frail, probably many years away. I would agree with that. I don't know about the frail part. And again, if the ankles are the problem, if there's anyone who could help him with that, it would be Stephen Curry, who overcame his own ankle issues early in his career. Interesting pick for sure. By the way, the thought I wanted to finish about is playing for his dad at the Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is that his dad got fired after that season where he played for him.
Oh, really?
He only played 11 games that season. And again, I think it's because of that ankle was giving him problems. And so the team did not do good. I think they finished like 12-23 or something like that. And dad got fired. So I hope dad is okay. And I hope son did not feel guilty because I'm guessing he went there partly to help his dad and do good for that program.
So.
But regardless, you know, that's the Patrick Baldwin Jr. is now a Golden State Warrior. Again, the youngest player, I believe he is a month younger than Jonathan Kuminga. Kuminga is still 19, yet is now not the youngest player on the Golden State Warriors.
November 18th, 2002 is his birthday.
That is wild, man. Rain King GW writes, I kind of like that Jovic guy that went ahead of him. But, you know, there were a lot of names available when the number 28 pick came. I think we were very surprised at the level of talent that was still available for the Warriors to go with. One of the players that you really liked, I believe, was Andrew Nembhard. Am I correct? Is that the guy that you wanted?
That was the guy I still am really high on. I think he'll be really solid for the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, so he was there for the Warriors. I thought EJ Liddell would have been fantastic based on all the research I'd done and the fact that the Warriors had scouted him, had interviewed him. I mean, he was there. He was not projected to fall that far.
And Cyrus, he's still available at 37.
Incredible. I was just about to say that. That's insane. The Lakers drafted a guy named Max Christie. Gabriel Presida follows him, and that's where we're at as we're recording this live right now. They're now at pick number 37. It goes to the Sacramento Kings. You're right. It's weird. I wonder what team saw in EJ Liddell that made them go, no.
Yeah, no. Every now and then, there are a couple of guys that kind of slip through the cracks. All right, let's see who Mark Tatum announces at 37.
Okay.
Before I finish my thought on Liddell. Oh, yes, Jaden Hardy, Ignite Kid. There we go.
And that's another guy you're familiar with. You loved him as well. Trey Underwood, by the way, writes, this pick will be a steal. People didn't think much of Jordan Poole. You just mentioned that a moment ago, Kevin. Trust in Bob Myers. His track record speaks for itself. I know it's so funny. Like when I say in Myers, we trust, and people bring up Jacob Evans III. It's like, there's nobody on this planet that's going to nail late first round picks 100% of the time. It's not, yep. It is hard to find talent that late and be successful at it. Go ahead. Sorry.
Cyrus, just to back up your point, if you get a rotation player every other year out of like the last three picks of the first round of the draft, that's like a really good track record. And so like you go back to 2015, Kevon Looney at 30, 2016, Damian Jones at 30. He's still in the NBA. Like he's got a 6-year NBA career, which I would venture to guess is like better than an average length NBA career for the number 30 pick in the draft. It didn't work for Jacob Evans in 2018 for Golden State, but then 2019 Jordan Poole that's a pretty solid track record for late first round picks. With respect to Jaden Hardy, this guy can be a microwave scorer. He is a silky smooth operator with the basketball in his hand. The efficiency numbers improved as the season went on. He was kind of hanging around the high 20s from three for much of the season. I think he did get it up to, he got it up to 32%. But the one number, 45% at the rim. So that's significantly below league average. So that's one thing he'll have to improve. But that, this was a like potential top five, top 10 pick coming into this season. And figured things out late. He still averaged like 19 and a half per game in the G League. So pretty good. I'm very happy for Jaden Hardy.
Exactly. Just like you said. And we're going to break down Patrick Baldwin and break down the Warriors as a whole, especially now that we know who they have with the first round pick. They obviously did not trade it. But first, I got to give some love to a video game that I'm sure you played as well when you were younger, Kevin. NBA Jams.
Oh yeah.
Is it Kevin Calabro who had the call that goes boom? Yeah, that goes boom shakalaka. And he's still calling games, right? Is it for the Blazers?
Yeah, he's a Blazers TV. Yep.
Incredible. So it was his voice on NBA Jams that would go, "He's on fire. NBA Jam is back." And you folks have a chance to own that game. And in fact, Locked On's actually doing a promo where they're giving away some of the games. You could pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade1up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They've got other classics too, like Golden Tee, a golf game with the wheel you spin that I used to play for hours at this one bar in North Beach in San Francisco with my friends, Mortal Kombat, and many others starting at just $399. And check this out. They're giving away an NBA Jam Shaq edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. Again, arcade1up.com/lockedon. You've got till July 8th to enter to win NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with?
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available on all podcast platforms. You can follow Kevin Danna, the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors, and sometimes the Golden State Warriors on Twitter at Kevo408. Here is some information about Patrick Baldwin Jr., and then, Kevin, I'd love you to add anything else to this before I kind of shift gears just slightly. It is draft day. So Baldwin, again, he's 19 years old. You mentioned his birthday is in November. That's when he turns 20. He's officially now the youngest member of the Golden State Warriors. He stands 6'10". He weighs 220, so he's not frail, but I'm sure they're going to want him to add maybe 10 to 20 pounds to his frame. He has a 7'2" wingspan, but one of the things that's very attractive about him is that he is an elite ball handler. And despite the fact that his shooting percentages were not strong, those are numbers that they anticipate going up tremendously for someone who is 6'10". On Krug's show earlier, someone mentioned that his shooting style emulates Klay Thompson's. I forgot who said that or where that came from. He was, again, top high school recruit in the country at one time. He chose to play for his father at Milwaukee, Wisconsin, over Duke. But it just goes to show the fact that he's recruited for Duke indicates how strong of a player he was in high school. Your thoughts on so far, everything I've said, and anything else that we have not talked about in regard to Patrick Baldwin Jr.?
Yeah, I guess the one thing that will, like, the immediate red flag for a fan is that they will see he shot 27% from three in college. But, like, as I mentioned before, like, if you are getting double teamed and you're getting contested looks because you are by far the most talented player on your team, that will hurt your efficiency.
Right.
And also, like, a guy who shoots great percentage from three in college does not necessarily mean that's going to translate to him being a great three-point shooter in the NBA.
True.
And also, like, a guy can be a bad three-point shooter in college and be, like, a pretty serviceable three-point shooter in the NBA. Like, case in point, like, Juan Toscano-Anderson was not, like, a three-point shooter really at any level in his career, especially in Marquette. And last year, I mean, 2021 I'm talking about, he shot 40% from three. Now, he's not a guy you consider a kind of stand-in-the-corner, shoot-three kind of guy. Jordan Poole, like, he was a decent three-point shooter, 37%. In his 2 years in Michigan, but nothing about that, like, that percentage alone doesn't scream like he's going to be a lights out guy in the NBA per se. I wouldn't judge his, I wouldn't say he's a bad shooter because he shot 27% from three. Again, if you see his highlights, you just take a look at the form. You can tell from a guy taking one or two shots if he knows how to shoot the basketball.
Yes.
And Patrick Baldwin Jr. knows how to shoot the basketball. There's no doubt about that in my mind.
Wholeheartedly agree. I want to Trey Underwood writes, he's like a mix between Klay Thompson and Sean Livingston, but bigger. Maybe. It's so early to really give accurate projections. But I wanted to read another comment here, if I could still find it. Saying that there were other players available. Here we go. So House of Reason 78 writes they should have picked Ty Washington or Coloco at the worst. Just to get perspective on some other players available. Again, you loved Andrew Nembhard. He was available. Christian Coloco was available. Jalen Williams from Arkansas was available. Jaden Hardy, who you have repeatedly said scores like a microwave for the G League Ignite last year, he was available. Do you like the pick? Because I'm sort of like meh right now. I wanted EJ Liddell, who's still available at the time of this recording, where I believe we're on pick 39 in the second round, somewhere around there. It's one of those things where I just have to trust Bob Myers. You know, this kid is doesn't have a track record. I read one thing that said he was one of the hardest players to scout and to provide a proper analysis for. In your opinion, are you happy with this pick? And would you have done something different?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't spend the last year, like, scouting these guys. Like, I compiled a couple of different scouting reports and looked at mock drafts. And then just, like, you know, I saw, like, what the top 100 guys were. And then I just real GM'd everyone. And then, like, the top 75 guys, like, I read scouting reports on. But, like, I can't say that I've, like, watched much of these guys. Like, I've watched a few of these guys, like, through tape study over the last couple of weeks, but Patrick Baldwin Jr. wasn't one of them. And so, like, it's hard for me to have, like, a strong opinion one way or another when I haven't actually seen the guy play outside of highlights.
Right.
So, like, I trust that the Warriors know what they're doing. Like, they know Patrick Baldwin Jr. a million times better than me. So I figured that they've done their job with this pick.
Yeah, I'm with it. That's exactly. That's my stance. We talked about this on the Krug show, but I want to rehash it. I asked you earlier, and I'm going to ask this now for the Locked On audience. Yeah. If the Warriors have the option of stashing a first round pick in the G League, because realistically, this Warriors team is so deep that I cannot see Patrick Baldwin Jr. playing any significant minutes for this team this year, especially given they're now officially world championship contenders. Last year, it was a lot of people wondered if they were world title contenders. There's no doubt now. Now they're going to repeat as world champions. They're aiming to defend their title. So a player like Patrick Baldwin Jr., any minutes he sees is going to be at Santa Cruz. Your thoughts on those kinds of plans? Can they stash him there? Can they play him there most of the year? Your thoughts on that?
So, yeah, they can stash him unless they change something to the CBA that I don't know about. But, like, in 2014, the Oklahoma City Thunder drafted Josh Huestis in the first round. It was, like, 28th or 29th, somewhere around there. and he played in the G League on a G League contract for his entire rookie season. Then they brought him up and put him on a contract, put him on a full roster spot his second season. So I think they could still do that with Patrick Baldwin Jr. And again, unless something has changed that I don't know about, there is precedent for that. And so I don't know if they are going to stash him or not. But, like, yeah, he's going to play on assignment. Jordan Poole did. If Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody are going to play on assignment, Patrick Baldwin Jr. is going to play on assignment. Jordan Poole played on assignment. Kevon Looney played on assignment. Like, that's just what they do with their draft picks. It's not a demotion. It's just that's just the way they develop these guys, and they have a pretty good track record of doing so. So I expect to see Patrick a ton. I'm excited to see him in a Santa Cruz Warriors uniform next year. I'm excited to see him in a summer league uniform next weekend in San Francisco at Chase Center. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, like, he'll be in the G League for sure. I imagine it would be on an NBA contract, but yeah, theoretically you can stash a guy and put him on a G League contract and just, you know, have his rights.
That's incredible. But you could still, but then you have an open roster spot to use for someone else in that scenario, or
Wow.
Okay. That's huge.
The way I understood how the Thunder did it. Yeah. Because then you're not paying him an NBA salary. He was paid a G League salary his first year. Josh Huston.
I have to imagine that's the plan for him, because, you know, that's the only way he's going to develop.
The agent's got to, like, that's a conversation you have with the agent. Be like, we plan to stash him. Like, you got to be cool with him. Like, his guaranteed money will kick in a year is basically the conversation you have to have.
Exactly.
With a guy like that.
If anyone has any questions, now is the time to ask, especially pertaining to the Warriors. And on tomorrow's show, Kevin, if you're free, I'd love to have you back on. But, you know, I don't want to bother you, man. You're taking all this time up talking hoops and the draft with me. But if you're available tomorrow, please join me, because I want to recap the second round picks. Regardless, if anyone has any Warriors questions for the remainder of the show, jump into the chat. Ask us, please, because I'd love to ask you, Kevin, about the draft in general. Who are any winners, any losers? What did you think about that top five, especially with Ivy dropping to the Pistons? Your thoughts on the draft in general, the first round?
So I definitely like Ivy for the Pistons. I do like Keegan Murray for Sacramento. I know that was kind of in our kind of poo-pooed in our previous show that we were on with Larry Krueger. Jaden Ivey's a better player for sure. But, like, you just spent like a top 10 pick on a guy in that position and Davion Mitchell. Like, how's Davion Mitchell gonna, like, feel like, oh, we just picked over you, go screw yourself, you're gonna be on the bench? Like, and you have De'Aaron Fox, who, by the way, is like only 24 years old.
Is he really?
He was a first round pick in 2017, and, you know, he only played 1 year at Kentucky, so he's like 24 or 25.
Is Ivy a ball dominant guard? Like, he needs the ball, he can't play off the ball much?
I mean, from what I saw, he definitely handles the ball a lot.
Gotcha.
And he blows past people. Like, this dude is lightning quick. Like I've seen, you know, that scouting reports say he has an explosiveness like Russell Westbrook or a John Wall. So that's the level of athlete he is. He's the best athlete in the draft. Is what they're saying. So yeah, that's
incredible.
That's tough to pass up on. But like,
yes,
if you like Keegan Murray and like he fills a spot on your roster, and it's better than any trade offer you can get, like Keegan Murray at four isn't like wild. Like, he was projected to go fifth overall and he went fourth. And earlier this NBA draft.net had him going third at one point, like a week ago. So like, the guy is well within that draft range. And if you average 23 a game in the Big Ten, like, you know how to play. So
yeah.
But I do like what the Pistons have done. Now you have Jaden Ivey with Cade Cunningham, Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey, Marvin Bagley, who they didn't draft second overall. That's not their problem that Marvin Bagley is the number two overall.
Right,
pick.
Yeah.
Like, Marvin Bagley's a good player. Like, he can average, he can get you 12, 13 a game. Like, all right, that's not number two pick worthy, but it's like NBA rotation player worthy for sure. So I think that, you know, and they have a really good head coach and Dwayne Casey, who you know, has taken losses these last couple of years. But, yeah, I mean, Marvin Bagley with the Detroit Pistons in 18 games, 14.6 points, 6.8 rebounds. Like, pretty good production. So,
yeah, you and I were, I think we're in agreement that the Pistons were the winner, or one of the winners today for sure. I want to read this question real quick. This is from Rain King GW. They write, who are we going after in this round, the second round? And again, we're recording this right now. It's now 8:44. And we're going to wrap this up soon just because you and I have been talking for hours, and we there's still another show tomorrow to cover the rest of the picks. But right now, the 42nd pick was made by the New York. Oh, EJ Liddell was taken 41st.
Yeah, your boy.
By the Pelicans. Oh, they're going to be good next year.
Yeah, they've had a good draft. I love Dyson Daniels, by the way.
Yeah,
and
man.
Now they got EJ Liddell, your boy. So they've taken care of both of us in this draft.
Yeah, you're right. So the Warriors have the 51st and 55th picks. Any names out there that you feel like could fall to them?
The names that I like the most at 51 and 55, when I was kind of looking at stuff, this is not in any particular order, but like a guy like a Michael Foster Jr. who played with Ignite, who was really productive and I thought had an underrated season with Ignite. Jabari Walker of Colorado, really good rebounder, really has a nose for the ball. Darion Sebron doesn't really shoot it, but like, just gets downhill at will, gets to the hoop at will. He played at NC State. Those are three names that pop out immediately. Hold on, I had a list. I'm pulling it up right now. Oh, come on, where is that potential?
And while you do that, real quick, I just want to add the summer league for the Warriors is going to be exciting because, in addition to getting our first glimpse at the new rookie Patrick Baldwin Jr., we're also going to see James Wiseman. Yep. We're also going to see Jonathan Kuminga. Right? I mean, that's a plan for summer league.
I think Kuminga is supposed to play. Moody's supposed to play, as far as I know.
And Moses Moody. So that's 4/5 of your potential starting lineup right there. That's exciting. Like that's I want to watch that on TV. Are you going to be calling these games? Is that correct?
So I'll be calling the games in Vegas, to be determined in San Francisco.
Okay. Sounds good.
We don't know. Yeah, there's a couple things up in the air, but hopefully be doing them in San Francisco as well.
I hope so too.
Alondis Williams would be another kind of a guy I really like watching, or Jaden Ivey's teammate, Travion Williams. Those are kind of some of the names that I really enjoyed watching this year. I've seen Carlo Matkovich be a guy that has been attached to the Warriors at 55 in a couple of different mock drafts, and I think that's largely because he'd probably be a good like stash option. He was Nikola Jovic's teammate with Mega BMAX. They got the pink uniforms. I like their unis, and that's the Adriatic League. So he could be a potential at 55 as well. Those are, you know, Kofi Coburn, if you want another big, Orlando Robinson, I did one of his games at Fresno State on Pac-12. Coburn, I think I would take over Robinson, for the time being. But, you know, they're both skilled bigs. Those are kind of the names. And then, Kenneth Lofton Jr., not Kenny Lofton Jr., kind of a bulldozing big, and Larry Kruger really likes John Butler.
Yes,
I think he's intriguing. I looked at six mock drafts today, and John Butler appeared in one of them. So potentially,
and Kruger loved him as well too. Yeah. I there's two more questions here, and I think we wrap it up for today. One will be a few more names to throw at you, just because Kevin, you've done tremendous research in terms of who's available in this draft, but Sobeys writes, there's your massive cheat sheet right there. Sobeys writes, can you, I'm guessing you're missing a word. Can you talk about the move Memphis made? Yes. I feel like there were another winner today. We both love their pick. We both, I believe they traded D'Anthony Melton, to the 76ers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. To the Sixers.
Which kind of indicates that Tyus Jones is probably going to be re-signed to a long-term deal. I don't think they would make that move if they didn't have some sort of reassurance from Tyus Jones. And then otherwise in the draft, I'm looking at it right now, and they got Walker Kessler, the center.
I believe that's a trade to Minnesota.
Okay, so Minnesota ended up with Kessler. And then what about Ty Washington Jr.? Did they also draft him?
Yeah, I want to say that's a potential trade to Houston. Like,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah, like that was their pick, and I think it got traded. Because it like ESPN listed it as a potential trade. Hold on, I'm gonna do some quick sleuthing here.
Gotcha. But regardless, you know, when you and I were both doing a full draft show, we were both commending them. I mean, the Grizzlies, and this is my opinion, they were the second best team in the postseason last year. I know people disagree with me on that, and that's fine. But I also think coming into next season, they're the biggest threat. And the two variables for me with that team that continues to make them a threat is their length and size and their depth. They are a very deep team. They're the only team that runs 10-11 in their bench, akin to the Golden State Warriors. Your thoughts on the Grizzlies today?
Yeah, no, I mean, the Grizzlies are going to be tough for a long ways to come.
Yeah.
So Minnesota drafted Jake LaRavia at 19, who was seen as a potential Warriors target, and Memphis acquired him in a trade. Then, so that Sixers trade, they traded DeAnthony Melton to Philadelphia, Memphis, and they for the 23rd pick, which they used on David Roddy, who's, you know, really good player in the Mountain West Conference. Oh. Wasn't great at the combine.
Right.
I specifically remember him taking like this fadeaway, you know, last possession of the game is like a 10-point game. You know, like the game was decided, but you could tell he's like, all right, I need to put something on tape for these, you know, talent evaluators. It was like this really nice fadeaway from the baseline, about an 18-footer that he drilled. He was like a 44% three-point shooter. Has a football body. I want to say he was an All-State quarterback in high school or played quarterback in high school, David Roddy. And, you know, he's like the 6'6 dude, like 240, 250, 260, something like that. Those are some intriguing moves made by Memphis. I mean, I agree with you, Cyrus. They're not going anywhere anytime soon.
And this is interesting. There's some news here that we're going to be breaking live on our show. The Golden State Warriors acquired the Atlanta Hawks number 44 pick for cash. I tweeted that this morning that it still fascinates me that you could just sell a draft pick for cash. It always indicates to me that that team is either hurting for money or their owners are cheap, because it's not a ton of money. It's like a few million bucks is usually what's exchanged for these draft picks. So they're going to get Toledo's Ryan Rollins with the number 44 pick. Your thoughts on that?
So, yeah, he had an early second round grade, basically, like basically his consensus pick was 40. And so they got him at 44. He had the tied for best three quarter sprint at the combine, 3.07 seconds. So
he's, you know, fast. Okay.
What was that? Like 72 feet, 71 feet in 3.07 seconds. That's pretty good. But yeah, I mean, this is a guy who I'm just looking through his stuff right now. High steal rebound rate kind of guy. A nearly 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, can block shots. He's a great scorer, really good out of ball screens. He averaged close to 19 per game. He was the MAC Freshman of the Year last year. This year was first team All MAC. So great mid-range game, which is, so tells you he has good touch on his shot. The three-point shot isn't there yet. He's 31% from three this year, 32% from three overall for his career. Areas of improvement, so that three-point shot, needs to work on his on-ball defense. Does give ball handlers like a decent bit of space, so isn't really in their grill. Gives up a lot of kind of no-dribble threes as a result. But, you know, those are a lot of positives. That's just kind of the pros and needs improvement for that guy. But, yeah, this is a guy that's solidly like first, third, second round, and so they get him at 44, and a guy who can, you know, provide a scoring punch for them.
What do you think is going on in the war room with Bob Myers in moments like this? Like, clearly Ryan Rollins was on the radar, right? Yeah. I mean, are you envisioning that they were guessing someone else was going to pick him, and then they realized they can get him? Or do you think the Hawks approached them first? How does this come down? And clearly they want this guy. And by the way, really quickly, I want to add this as well. The fact that the Warriors gave up millions of dollars for this rookie tells me they're willing to spend the money. And that makes me feel a lot better about Kevon Looney and Gary Payton II coming back. And maybe Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah,
your thoughts on all
point.
That, please.
That's a good point. Yeah. Like, I mean, this team figures to go hundreds of millions, you know, at luxury tax. You know, this could be pushing what, $400+ million next year after the luxury tax. So yeah, if they're willing to spend money on a second round, did you, I forget, did you say how much money?
And that was not reported yet, okay, but it's usually just from precedent. It's usually in the 3 to 4, maybe 5 million range. I've never seen him. Go ahead, sir. Yeah.
I was going to say, I remember when they did this with Jordan Bell, they bought the pick from the Chicago Bulls, like 37 or 38 overall. So it's kind of the same ish range.
Yeah.
For Ryan Rollins. So, and yeah, I agree with you. I think that does portend well. If you're going to spend millions on a second round pick, for a guy who obviously has never played in the NBA, that you are going to be willing to spend money on guys who have played in the NBA and have contributed to you winning an NBA championship. So, yeah, I do think that is a good sign.
Oh, and I actually have the numbers here now. The Warriors gave $2 million and also gave the Hawks their number 51 pick. So it wasn't just cash.
All right, gotcha.
Okay. There you go. So that makes the fact that the 51st pick was thrown in as well makes a lot more sense. So that means there's only one pick remaining for the Warriors, and that's number 55. So we almost covered the whole draft.
And so I was just going to say, like, that makes sense to me from a perspective of like 51 to 55. Like, you're basically, like, it's like same range basically. So like late second round pick. So now, like, they get a mid second round pick and a late second round pick. So like, yeah, it's like kind of just a little bit, you know, up in talent that you have available for you there. So that makes sense to me. Instead of having two like late second round guys, you move up to take one mid second round, and you still have a late second rounder as well.
Absolutely. The whole cash thing is just hilarious, because as Sobeys mentions, the cash for picks is not counted against the cap. Which is, the whole thing's just weird. I need to look up the rules on that, because I'm curious to know, like, can another team demand like $10 million for a pick? Like, does it correlate directly with the pick itself? And
no one's gonna spend $10 million on a second round pick, even though, like,
I just for hypothetical sake, I was just very curious. So there you go. So the Warriors add two picks, which, Kevin, you're gonna be covering undoubtedly. With especially next year with the G League, but also with the Summer League, Patrick Baldwin Jr., and then now the much newer pick, Ryan Rollins. And we'll try to break that down. To play for Toledo last year, averaged 18.9 points, 6 rebounds, 3.6 assists, and 1.7 steals per game in 34 college games played. So there you go. They saw something they liked in them and they went for it. So they still have the number 55 pick. And we'll reveal that on tomorrow's show. Is there anything we haven't touched yet, Kevin, before we wrap things up? Between the Krug show and now this, I feel like we've gone like almost 4 hours of just nonstop talking, and
yeah,
it's fun, right? But it's a little exhausting, man. Yeah, a little exhausting.
I don't know. I personally really like Alondis Williams. I wish him the best of luck. I would love to see him in a Santa Cruz Warriors uniform. He'll be in the G League on a two-way or 10 two-way or assignment or exhibit 10 one way or another. There's a lot of good guys still out there. Big fan of Darion Sebron. Like Yan Montero when I saw him at the Nike Hoop Summit. I did that game 2 months ago now. There's Jabari Walker, who I mentioned. I'm just kind of flipping through things. So still guys out there that could be productive. And then, you know, there's going to be inevitably some undrafted guys who go on and, you know, carve out rotation roles for them from this draft class.
Yeah, and just to wrap things up here, Dorsey's Resource complimenting us. Thank you so much, Dorsey. But you wrote something here which actually sticks out, and I wanted to touch on real quick before we wrap it up. One variable that Myers loves to pick out when it comes to drafting players, and it's evident now. It's a trend. It's a pattern. Is high character. And that might be something that, again, it's hard to see that on a scouting report. There's no measurable for it, but for all we know, Patrick Baldwin Jr. and Ryan Rollins, is that his name, or Hollins?
Ryan Rollins.
Yep. Yes. And Ryan Rollins. I mean, these could be two individuals that are just, a lot of their positives are the fact that they're chemistry guys, that they're not going to disrupt the chemistry of a defending world champion team. And that moving forward in the future, like, they're going to be high character guys that certainly subscribe to and believe in the concept of the collective, of the team, much more than the individual, which is vitally important in a team sport like basketball. So
you'd expect, sorry to cut you off. Cyrus,
No, go. I'm done.
You'd especially expect that from Patrick Baldwin Jr., right? He's a coach's son. So you figure he has team first mentalities instilled in him without ever having met the guy, talked to the guy. I'll be doing the Warriors press conference tomorrow. I don't know what time that is yet, but I'll be doing it, so I'll have a chance to.
What do you mean doing it? What does that mean? Like you're announcing the players?
I'm like emceeing it or something.
Well, that's awesome.
So I'll.
Congrats, man!
Thank you. It'll be cool.
Is that the Chase Center media room or is it somewhere else?
I believe so. Yeah. Okay. I haven't gotten all the details yet because they haven't set a time yet because I think it like they have to see when they can like fly the guys in and stuff, right? So like
probably
getting straight from the airport to the press conference kind of thing. I don't know what time that's going to be, but like, yeah, I'll get a chance to shake Patrick's hand, shake Ryan's hand and whoever they get at 55 and get some early impressions there. But without having known the guy, my bet would be that Patrick Baldwin Jr. at the very least is a team guy.
There you go. And that's just a huge part of it that is overlooked often. And it's just very hard to actually provide a proper analysis of. And before we go, Rain King GW again writes, Iggy teased a return, I'm guessing on Twitter maybe. We'll see. I mean, I could see him fitting in as a coach. I could see him taking over that Udonis Haslam role with the Heat, where he's actually signed as a player year after year but barely plays. By the way, did you see the Draymond tweets tonight?
No.
Yeah, he's on fire, man. He's just picking fights. He does not care at all. He did two tweets, both directed at Kendrick Perkins. First one, he just simply wrote pep talk from who with all these laughing emojis. This is in reference to during the ESPN draft coverage. They asked Perkins, I think Malika Andrews asked Perkins to give Chet Holmgren a pep talk, given he supposedly, you know, was he's self-proclaimed locker room leader is Kendrick Perkins. Draymond just mocked him for that. Perkins referred to Thunder vice president Donnie Strack as being part of the Thunder's athletic department. And Draymond Green went on Twitter again and wrote athletic department because that's a college term. But and he added calling him Bozo with a much more happy face.
Jeez.
Those two.
I am a Perkins fan. I know I mentioned
I know you are. I'm done. I'm not going to rip him anymore.
I've said my piece on Perkins. No, it's fine. Do your thing. Disagreement is the American way. Yeah, respect.
It's entertaining. I
mean, respectful disagreement isn't the American way anymore, but it's supposedly an ideal we have that I would like to strive.
And my boy 49ers Minded, who's probably making some amazing kebabs tonight, wrote, just set up a Draymond versus Perkins pay-per-view already.
Please do.
I'm in.
I am in too.
All right, my man. If you don't come on tomorrow, have a fantastic day emceeing the Warriors draft pick welcoming party. I don't know if it's a party technically, but with the ceremony, whatever we're calling it.
Yeah.
And if you do join me, great. We'll figure it out. But regardless, we'll do one more show tomorrow to recap the draft picks and lead you into the weekend. Again, you can follow Kevin Dano on Twitter at Kevo408. Any last things you want to talk about or promote before we're done?
No, I think we're good.
I think we did.
Check out the Dubs at Summer League at Chase Center. And then, if you got extra money to spare, come on out to Vegas, rock your KN95 because it'll be a COVID minefield in Sin City, baby. But come on out to Vegas.
You're good, dude. That's funny, man.
I got COVID in Vegas, so that's why I say that stuff.
But it doesn't surprise me, man. Yeah. It does not surprise me.
But yeah, no, I can't wait to get out there. It'll be a great
Sounds
time.
Good, man. Love you, dude, and I'm sure we'll see you again soon. Thank you, everyone. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzels, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadshow. Buy some t-shirts. Rick Barry and I have some t-shirts out now. They're awesome designs. One's Rocco surfing. One is the Jordan Poole doing a cannonball for the pool party. And one is a Rick Barry jersey. So I have a pinned tweet if you want to check that out. Otherwise, we're back tomorrow. Follow the program on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. Kevin, thanks as always, my man. Thank you,
dude.
Thank you, everyone. Later.